Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
It makes me think about, you know, the little child that's been trying to get his parents' attention, and they've been busy and all this kind of stuff going on. And so he goes out and begins to play with matches, and he sets a little bush on fire in the backyard, and the fire department comes out and puts it out. And all of a sudden, his parents are looking at this little, you know, 3 foot tall little boy here, and he's looking up with his twiddling his fingers back and forth. And you're thinking one perspective, like, oh, he's in trouble. But the little kid in his heart says, I finally got them where I want them. They're paying attention to me. And I'm telling you that I really feel this is a word for us to understand the moment that we're in is to be encouraged. If you haven't been on the front lines, if you haven't been talking to people about the awesomeness of God and his love and his desire for men to be in relationship with him, you don't know this or not, but listen, this is a very important moment. You know, men needed their attention gotten. And we're just like that little kid with our hands behind her back, you know, three-year-old looking up, and everybody's going, this is going to be bad for him. He says, no, the little kid's going, this is good. I finally got their attention. And 2013 is going to be an attention-getting year. So much so that, you know, we have our leaders coming in next week. I'm excited about Gideon's Army coming in from around the United States. And we're excited about you guys joining us. And God's already speaking to us about how he's going to just everything. It's good. It's always good. It's always been good. And what's about to take place, it'll be on the outskirts of right after this gathering, it looks like. And we'll be talking more about it. But let me tell you, if you haven't yet listened to Brace Yourself, if you haven't gone to the VFN Radio Highlights or at VFNTV.com and listened to Brace Yourself, you're going to, I mean, think about it. If you knew that the whole thing was going to rock, when things start shaking, I thought when I first got in the Navy, which stands for Never Again Volunteer Yourself, obviously I'm not a tool person, if you had noticed that or not.
Don't
I like tools, and I still have that innate desire to have a tool.
I know.
Not necessarily to use one. You know, I can go through and I can enjoy walking through Lowe's and picking and touching. I'll even buy stuff and just set it there, you know. And yeah. Just kind of feel good about it. Right, right.
I got a question for you.
Maybe
outfit of yours?
Yeah, I do, actually. Actually, I was a model. Then. I was chosen to be a model for Good Housekeeping magazine. I was on the USS Intrepid in New York, as a matter of fact.
Yes, it sure was.
And back when the Hudson had clean water. No. And what was I talking about? You remember me thinking about this? This Navy thing.
Talking about tools.
No. Tools. No. 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 No.
Now you don't know how to use them.
Brace yourself.
Listen, brace yourself.
Oh my goodness, I gotta brace myself for you guys. listen. You're gonna, you know, that's when I got in the Navy. What happens when you put a boat in the water? It's like it's not on the ground anymore. It's like in the water, it's floating. And you think, oh, what's the big deal? That's a big deal. It's a big deal when your earth floats and moves around and rocks at 45 degrees. Well, they told me, you know, I wasn't gonna be in the engine room, but since my school was full, I had to go. They don't like you let you go home and wait for your school to start. They keep you in the Navy, and you have to do whatever until that comes, and they put me in the engine room, which is just totally not, kind of doesn't fit, you know. I have worked on I excruciated the pain of working on vehicles before. It was really tough. And out of love for the one I was helping. And I had bought a 65 Ford truck. Come on, the first thing I did, I had to climb up and sit on the wheel well and go, oh, my goodness, it's broke. Anyway, so... they said, tie everything down in the log room, which has all these books, and it's like an office area where you log all the oil levels and how if the ship is sinking or not. I never could figure that out, so I just go around and write down the numbers in the book. Thank God my boat didn't sink. It was that'd be terrible. Let's go back and investigate the logs.
That's a job for Sanguine.
Well, you just look back at the past, you know, the past readings, you know, it's like, okay, the past year, this has pretty much been what it is. I'll just go ahead. Sort of like what America's doing now. Anyway, so I'm thinking, what's the big deal? You know, I got time to tie everything down. And as soon as they pulled the mooring lines off the boat, because it was a small boat, this first boat was 135 feet long.
Wow.
The smaller they are, the more they rock. And as soon as they pulled off and started going out of the port, everything, books and all the stuff started falling. I had a chair with wheels on it, so I'm all over the place. And this is like, I mean, you're getting like an ab workout just trying to hang on to your desk to be able to. It was just terrible. And, you know, and they were telling me to brace myself and to tie things down, but I didn't have my sea legs yet. I didn't have the concept of what it's like for things to rock. And of course, from that point on, you know, I'd brace myself, even to the point when you go to eat on this particular boat, that people would bring duct tape. They would bring duct tape to eat. Part, it was a knife, a fork, a tray, and duct tape. Because you had to take your tray of food, put it on the table, and take duct tape and stretch it all the way across to hold your plate on the table so you could eat.
Wow.
Because you didn't eat because of all the things that were going on, because a lot of people couldn't handle the movement.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
Yes, this is not a field for Pat. Nope. You know, right? I mean, you have like a sticker for my ear? You got a sticker for my ear? I'm not feeling good. But you got this, everything's about to rock. And it was so cool that once you understood that on ships, that when they get underway, they're going to rock sometimes. They're going to roll at 45 degrees. At 45 degrees, that's half a 90. So think about that. Imagine a ship going one way, you know, 45 degrees. Listen, it's merciless because this is what happens next. Then it goes back the other way, 45 degrees. You think, phew, that's over. And I was like, nope. It goes back the other side, 45 degrees, and like night and day and night. And there's people just like white-faced, you know, pink-eyed, you know, sick as a dog all over the place, chewing ice, doing everything they could
do. And I thought the cruise ship was something.
Oh, please. Oh, please. That's like Texas in the water, man. They ain't going to go anywhere.
Oh, wow.
Of course, I know Donna. You know, when Donna and I, you know, we're blessed with a cruise, we went to Mexico. And this is huge, you know. This is huge. This is like, I don't know, it has like countries on it. And the buffet is, you could survive just floating on the buffet. It's so bad. And I looked at Donna, and we were in our nice room, which is about 2 foot by 2 foot. And that was just for the bed. And I looked at her, and she had her hand, in the middle of the night, she had her hand on the wall. While she was laying there, I'm like, what are you doing? She says, it feels like it's just going to roll over. I thought that was so funny, you know. I mean, she really felt, because if you start thinking about it, if your mind, you know, melancholies have a tendency to measure things out and to think about things.
Yeah, this thing too could, much.
You know, if you watch The Presiding Adventure, they can roll over. And if you watch The Titanic, it can go under, right?
That's right.
The unsinkable ship, iron. Anyway, so, yeah. You know, I learned to brace myself. And once I learned to brace myself, it was just no big deal. I would walk down a hallway, for example, or a passage, whatever they called them. And it would take a 45-degree roll. So I'd walk partly on the floor and partly on the wall while I'm holding a cup of coffee, because I got used to a full cup of coffee while dodging people who are not holding their cookies. Oof. and making sure I didn't get my coffee.
Yeah, no, this is
welcome to the Navy. We can sail the seven seas. Anyway, so once I braced myself, it was just kind of an adventure. Mm-hmm. And if you brace yourself and get ready and prepare yourself, and I'm going to be talking about that today, about this is a prophecy. You're learning in advance. I don't know how far in advance I'm at. If you haven't been listening, you still have time. And, you know, we're going to be talking about comparing it to a surfer who wants to catch a wave. You know, a beginner surfer just sits out there and waits for the wave to come. They find the wave and they just get on their board and think the wave is going to carry them. Mm. What happens is all that desire, all this anticipation just goes right past them. Mm. But when you brace yourself, you learn how to stay on the board. Secondly, you realize you're going to have to be going in the direction of the wave. You're going to have to be prepared to stay on the board, and you're going to have to paddle your hard. They paddle hard, hard as they can paddle. They get their hands, and they're just paddling. And finally, when the wave hits, I'm telling you, this is a word, then you're going to go with the wave of the great harvest that's coming on the face of the earth. But if you just think, I'm just going to wait till it gets here, you're just going to have to observe it pass you by. And I do want to encourage you, and I'll be talking about it. Don't say, oh, well, because no, go serve. Go find what God's doing and dive into it and serve, because they're going to need more. The issue right now on the earth is workers. We need, you know, God needs workers, harvesters to go into the field, who stay in the field, who are not afraid of the field, who will lay down their life for what's in the field, which is called mankind. And that's where we are. But understand, brace yourself. You know, go to VFNTV. If you haven't yet gone to VFNTV, VFNTV.com, listen, there are prophetic teachings, things that have already come to pass but didn't come to pass when they were being taught. And there's other parts of that very same prophetic teaching that has yet to come. So you can listen to that and get in the middle of being on the right side of history, such as, you know, is America under God's judgment? You know, Islam, Christianity, America, and Israel, you know, the state of the nation, things that we're seeing right now. We have a president that sold our country out. He sold our country out. He has bought into the lie of Islam that they're friendly and that the Quran is not against, you know, America, not against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Or he just is against America and against Israel. You know, I don't know. It's one way or the other. But either way, the fruit is that Islam has totally integrated our nation, our government, and what it is that I truly believe, you know, you can listen to Josiah on VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com to understand biblically what I'm talking about. But that he is God's set man. He's been named by Egypt. He's God's set man. He's not a mistake. Like Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant, and God set Nebuchadnezzar up to be able to do what he wanted. And he is not only God's set man, but the things that he's accomplishing in a very short period of time is amazingly, you just think about, you know, Rome falling in a day, which it didn't, but you just think about the rapid decline of a nation, how quickly we're declining to the point where it is, I want to talk about it now, I guess. We'll just talk about it now that, you know, when I was on a sabbatical, I was in Savannah, Georgia, which, you know, I thought, oh, what a sweet town. This is so nice. And I did. The people are great there. I think it's how, you know, how quaint it is and all this kind of stuff. And then I studied the history of it. And like, we all need Jesus. This is terrible what happened here.
It's even in
Savannah. Oh, my goodness. It's like, you oppressed mankind here. No, it was just like, I couldn't believe. It's like, we just need Jesus. But anyway, when I'm there on the sabbatical, which, you know, I define that as just taking time to be with God and getting your heart and your head back in tune with heaven again and desiring to continue in ministry and waiting for the touch. And God showed me a very specific thing that I'm feeling in my heart right now is coming to pass. When we looked at the fiscal cliff, everybody was watching it. Everybody was looking at it. Everybody was talking about it. And it's just like a little small thing. Nobody was ultimately intimidated by it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just kind of observing it, talking about it, criticizing it, and all those kind of things. And I believe what's next is significant to the sky falling. Mm-hmm. You know, everything just dropped, the economy just, that is going to be just a economic crash, I guess you would say, is about to come. And this is what God showed me in my time with him was that I was in the center of the United States and I was standing, I was looking over the plains probably of Kansas or something of that nature. And I was standing near where the author that wrote those books, Brave.
John Eldridge?
Yeah, John Eldridge. John Eldridge's ministry kind of around there. And looking, you know how dreams are, you can see just great distances. And all of a sudden, this real thin tornado way out in the plains started.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was looking at this little thin tornado. It was like, you know, unique. It was small. Nobody was intimidated by it. But they were all just looking. And then as they were looking, it was coming out of a huge, the entire sky was just dark as it possibly can be everywhere. I mean, there was no end to it when you look up. And but nobody's paying attention to that. They're just looking at the thin tornado. And the thin tornado was in the day. It was in daylight when you could see. It wasn't night.
Right.
And all of a sudden, as everybody was observing and pointing and talking about something that was small that they knew that couldn't necessarily harm them, they weren't paying attention to what was about to happen because the sky fell, John. The entire sky fell. Imagine this whole sky just falls and it hits the earth. And the earth stays the earth, but it turns into like it's water. It looks like it looks, but once the sky hits it, then it starts moving like waves and motion. And all of a sudden, a huge wave, the sky hit, and this huge tsunami-type wave started heading west. And God was showing me as I was preparing that there's going to be a time when we're looking at something and we're observing, and it's not some major thing. They started calling it a bend in the road. They started calling it instead of a physical cliff.
Oh, wow.
And that I truly believe now 2013 is going to be what we would define as, you know, the sky falling. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying the sky's falling, but something so major that we're not expecting that's going to create, you know, mass issues. And we're going to be right where we right where he wants us. We're going to be looking up. You know, men are going to be looking at the greatest harvest that the church has ever seen is going to begin. But there's some things that we're going to have to go through, and the ramifications of this crash. You know, this crash. There's four. It's reported that 46, I believe. CBN News reports that 46 states, it could be 47, but 46 states have pensions. Well, pensions are what people pay their retirement, and when they retire, you pay them this money as long as they live, and then pay it to their spouse. Like 46 states have pensions that become due this year, and none of them are funded. They did not set money aside for these.
Oh, wow.
They didn't set money aside for these. And so, you know, and if you ever talk to anybody that works for a union and they're sold out for the union, all they think about is their life after their job. They live for, they're living for the pension. They're not living for the job, you know, and they're building the pension. And when you do that, when your God falls, when everything you're depending on, your Jehovah Jireh pension program is not there. And that's what they're expecting. It's going to be the great insurgence of unrest, you know, in the nation. And it's going to begin to happen when the economy, all 46 states.
Wow.
You know, it's just, that's huge. That was, that's very huge. And a lot of people are in bargaining right now, but listen, there is no money to pay those pensions in 46 states. There's no money. And, but it's like, nobody pays attention to it. Nobody pays attention to it. And we're talking about prophetically where we are. Where we are right now and what's taking place, you know, being prepared, bracing yourself. And we talk about $16 trillion. Our deficit, you know, our debt is $16 trillion, they say. And you're about to hear in a couple days, they're going to want to raise the debt ceiling, borrow more money. But I'm gonna let you hear Rick Joyner talk about this at a minister's conference this year as he talks about the IMF, International Monetary Fund, and what our true debt is. They say it's $200 trillion. $200 trillion. Listen up.
Okay. But they're also, he called them hypocrites who didn't know the signs of the times. Couldn't read the signs of the times. The mark of the beast is an economic mark. And the economy is going to be the ultimate issue.
But think about that. This is so important because we've been talking about this, the beast economy. When you hear about, when you read about the end time, you know, assault on the earth of Satan, it's going to be, has to do with money and how things are bought and how things are sold. And it's going to be the economy. That's what we're looking at right now. We're looking at a crescendo of how things are going to transition into that. And that's what he's talking about right now. It's the beast economy. Listen up.
And understand the economy. Understand God's economy, his way, learning to deal with our, whatever he entrusts with us is fundamental. He even said, I can't trust you with the real wealth, the spiritual riches, if you don't learn how to handle this unrighteous mammon.
You think about it, it's so important because what he's talking about here is what we've been talking about. We're trying to let you know what he's told us, and there's others that are talking too, and Rick's even talking to Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries. We're telling you. We're saying, listen to the signs of the times. People are looking square into a tsunami and saying, listen, let's just go swimming. It's like, it's a tsunami. It's destruction. You know, we can prepare for this. We can brace ourselves. Listen up.
Got to get this right. So we need to do it. We also need, you know, I don't know if you saw what came out just last week. I went back and read it, found the source. The International Monetary Fund determined that the real debt of the U.S., it's not $15 trillion, not $16 trillion. And those who really knew or who were the most astute have been saying for years, no, it's really closer to $65 or $70 trillion. The International Monetary Fund said no. They did all these long studies, computation, said it's over $200 trillion.
Do you hear that? $200.
Wow.
$200 trillion. And these guys know this.
Oh.
But we, as God's people, we know it too. God tells us we don't need artificial intelligence. We don't need Google or Android. We know God lets his people know what's about to happen. Listen, there is no turning back. Listen up.
The U.S. debt. Their estimation, you could tax everybody in America 100% from now on, not begin to pay for our debt.
Think about it. Tax everybody, everything. Mm. And there is no way out of this. Listen, we are 46 states, 46 states, And it was actually Rick was talking about this, 46 states. And God has given, you know, Rick Joyner a anointing to draw, you know, government and intelligence and all this together. And he's talking to the leaders of our nation. And he's talking to those who are in the International Monetary Fund and those that are in CIA and those who understand what's taking place. So he's just not talking off the top of his head. In addition, it's just bearing witness with what God has been telling him all along. Mm-hmm. And it's bearing witness. That's why we're doing it, because, you know, let things be established, you know, in more than one witness, and that's realize right. that there, you could prepare yourself right now. You could put your faith and trust in money, or you can put your faith and trust in God. You can't serve them both. And listen, I don't know how much time you have, but you know, well, even if you have 5 seconds left before this happens, it's still good to be on the right side of history, that you trusted him before you had to, mm-hmm. because everybody's going to have to.
Right.
I mean, you're going to have to. You're going to get to a point where we're going to either, you know, serve the adversary, or we're going to serve God in an open, mm-hmm. open way, in a very shameful way. And the question is what we're talking about all the time. We're talking about this all the time. Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survive in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Well, so that's so very, very important, because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, that you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you. A simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org. You know, in addition to all these things that we're seeing and these things being, you know, we wanted to go a little bit further, but listen, things are happening so quick. We want you to know beforehand. We want you to know beforehand so that you can prepare for and be on the right side of history. But with that, you know, what we're seeing is that that martial law, you know, and the Lord showed me specifically a time where, you know, martial law was going to be happening in America. And we saw it, and we thought at first it was that particular time, because we had Hurricane Ivan and Hurricane Katrina on the Gulf Coast, and martial law was put into place. And we got a chance to taste of it, you know, what it was like. And it is amazing. You know, it's in our Constitution that you can have martial law. But I want you, before I talk any more about it, I want you to hear Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, as he's talking and sharing what God has shown him for some time now, what's about to happen, what's going to happen in America in regards to martial law.
I have seen for 25 years, more than that, we would be under martial law in America. Would be under martial law in America. I believe that is going to happen. To me, this is not something that we're going to avoid. Okay, I've been saying that more boldly lately because I've been released to do that. Now, I think it could be the best thing that happened to us, or it could be the worst. The big deal about martial law is who's the marshal. Now, there are some things that we have gone so far, they cannot be rectified by our present. Our elected officials are not addressing things that are going to destroy us. Some things are going to happen. Now, it really does depend on who is the marshal when this happens. And I believe one of the signs is who honors the Constitution and who dishonors it. This is a key thing, because this is the basic vow that every officer and every public official takes. And this is a basic thing that reveals integrity. And if someone tried to impose martial law to keep us from having an election or doing other things, even using civil unrest for that, I'd say, this is bad. This is not the good one. This is the bad one. But there is, when conditions happen and where it is necessary, and this is one of the reasons we went down to Katrina. The Lord had shown me this. You need to learn what it is like to live through every stage they're going to go through down there, from the lawlessness that was unbelievable during the first stage. But I tell you, when the Army came into that situation, everybody was happy about it, except for the lawless, the gangs and all, who disappeared. I mean, they brought order, they brought discipline. And our government officials, in my opinion, at that situation, the governor and the mayor of New Orleans were creating the chaos. They were just fanning the flames of lawlessness. And the Army came, order, peace. They put a National Guard unit on our base just to watch. And man, we were so thankful for them. And I think if it comes in the right situation, it will be a reset and a jubilee and get us back to our right foundations. So I know you just hear martial law, it's scary. But listen, we are headed for some things that we've got to face that we've long passed the point where they could be fixed just by our own dealing with things. We've let them gone way too far. And, you know, it's going to take a real decisive acting authority to deal with some of these things and get us back on track. But it's going to be the greatest opportunity for tyranny too. If we're awake and if we're mobilized and we're reaping the harvest, we're prepared for what's coming, the light is going to prevail. But you know, the United States of America is not the kingdom of God either, and we can never forget that. I believe God wants to preserve it. He wants to keep, he gave us our foundations. He began a good thing, wants to see it finished. Once it completed, and I believe that's what we're going to see. I believe that what he began in America, we're going to see it completed, but we're going to have to go through a rough, rough period because of the foolishness and the selfishness of how awry our present system has gotten. I'm prophesying that.
It's so important. That's in tune with what we've been hearing as well, and others have been hearing. And martial law, I love the way that Rick looks a lot of stuff. That's Rick Joyner with the Morningstar Ministry speaking to his ministers that gather on an annual basis, gathering this year. But understanding that it can go either way. It depends on how you look at it. And what he had to come down and visit Katrina. We were in we were in Ivan, and we were in five Katrina. Hurricanes, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
and all those different and it was prophesied that this was going to be coming. And I remember myself and my spiritual father, Brother Ken, we were sitting in Destin, and we were talking to a lot of my brothers there, and sharing with what's going to be coming and all, and not. All of a couple of them was just like, well, you're just you're just kind of shaky because of all the hurricanes that came. Like, well, here it is.
There you go.
Here it is. And Brother Ken was like, okay, let's just don't bring that up anymore. Like, ouch. And so this is happening. And we think about, you know, martial law, it was used by George Washington. There's times if you ever been a parent, you understand. Somebody says, but I thought you said, well, right now, suspending those rules because we got to grab a hold of this thing.
Right.
And that's just normal. That's normal. I mean, God declares it all the time.
All the time.
Right. And so that it can be a negative thing and a bad thing. And true authority is such a foreign thing to today's society and to the church that we are not like the centurion anymore, who Jesus was praised. He says, I've never seen such great faith in all of Israel. Because he understood authority. He says, I myself am a man under authority, got some people over me, got some people under me. you know, and I operate in it. And Jesus is like, you got it. You're not even a Jew and you got it. And martial law is like, hey, it's just definite authority. Jesus walked around in definite authority. He was always and still is over Satan and what's happening out there. Now, he gives us authority in our life where we get to exercise it. But quite often, you know, mankind does not exercise it properly. We always make mistakes with it. But with martial law, and this is what I think about. I think about, you know, coming from law enforcement, that you know, things are going crazy. Things may have been okay in society or that particular business or family for a time. But what happens, you call a police officer out to your home or to your business. It's like, we need some definite authority right now. And it's all of a sudden, you know, you had all this freedom and there was no police officers around. You didn't even think about them. But all of a sudden, now there's a police officer here and he or she's bringing definite authority in that situation. Because they bring that definite authority, peace comes. And so it's not a negative thing to look at that. It all depends on whose hands on the helm at the time that it kicks in. You know, is it going to be the one that's selling us out to, you know, and to radical Islam and the Muslim Brotherhood, or is it going to be another particular leader that'll come after this particular? You don't even know, you know, what it's going to be. But I also think about in a courtroom. If you're in a courtroom, if you've ever been in a courtroom before, and I was in one quite a bit, been in law enforcement as a witness and all that kind of stuff. That the judge has definite authority in that courtroom. That is his or her courtroom. And it's weird. We understand it when it comes to that, but when it comes to God, it's like the church gets kind of like, well, I don't know. I'm looking for a word. I got a word for you. Just do it. You know, just do it. And if anything happens in that courtroom, the judge will snatch you up, put you in contempt of court, and lock you up. I don't care if you're attorney that's making $1 million an hour, you know, or you're the person, the drug dealer who just came in. I wasn't looking that way intentionally. I don't know who just came in. That, you know, that's coming in for a crime because there's definite authority. At some point, you have to have definite authority to be able to do something. But in a lighter note, understanding it, and that in 2 days with true authority and everybody lining up behind it, so many things can be fixed when we understand authority, when we understand it. The world understands this. I mean, the world understands it. I mean, gangs understand it, but the church doesn't understand it. I mean, the church doesn't understand this. And it's like, we got to get this because we can do that kind of work if we can get this thing. If we can understand that it's about authority and that all authority has been given to Jesus Christ and he's given it to us. He tells us, as I went, you go. In my name, you know, move in authority. But I think of a show that I had a chance to watch during my recovery time was... where they go into a restaurant that's in chaos and it's confused and it's losing money and the cooks are fighting and all these terrible things are happening. And this one man all by himself, very bold, very confident, knows his business. He goes into this particular restaurant that's over. And I saw it. And he goes in there and he asks them for $10,000 and he tells them to shut up and listen, everything you've been saying ain't working. So don't say anything else. I don't want to hear it. Shut up. And then he begins to go in 48 hours, in 2 days, church, in 2 days, understanding authority, this world situation, this man can go into a fight, a squabble, a destroyed business that's been going down for 20 years. Looks like it's no hope. And he can turn it around the way it looks, the way it acts, the way it operates, the way it functions, and its profitability in 48 hours. Why? Because he goes in there and he just says, this is how it is. This is what's going to happen. Take that. Do this. You're out of here. You're fired. Get 2 cooks. Do this. Do that. Imagine if we would just wake up and understand, listen, you know, maybe we ourselves could begin to move in that authority again and not have to wait for some presidential person to say, you know what, we're going to kick in martial laws. Because under martial law, you can fix some stuff. They were able to fix those restaurants in 48 hours that they could never do because they allowed that concept to be able to come in there. Like he talked about in Katrina and we saw in Ivan where people are getting shot and looting and all that kind of stuff, that when the soldiers show up, it brings peace and stability. And the only people that fear authority are those who are wrongdoers, those that are doing evil. But the people who are doing right, they're like, oh, this is so good. I'm glad. Thank you for coming. Do you need some coffee? Is anything I could do for you?
Exactly. You want to park your Jeep outside of my house, my driveway? That's okay. No problem.
Yeah. And so people say, well, they have curfews. Well, the curfew is so you can be in your house while they shoot the bad guys. While the ants are crawling and roaches are crawling at night, they'll go after them. So I just want to encourage you and understand that, you know, this is where we're going. I really truly believe that if we'll begin to move back, there's a lot of people who want to move in their own personal authority, and they call themselves, you know, in authority in regards to God's people. But the truth is, you know, a lot of them, they're not, mm-hmm. you know, they just have, they're a bully. Yeah, they're a bully, or they have a bigger pile of do. And, and they've convinced people to give a bigger pile of, you know, finances to them. That doesn't automatically mean that. But it's those that move in God's authority, the boldness, the love and boldness and direction. Imagine what you could do if a worldly man can go into a worldly restaurant, it's over with, destroyed, it's good as gone, in debt, and in 48 hours take authority and restructure emotionally, physically, all the content, the menu, hire cooks, put in, you know, advertise, fill a restaurant with 250 brand new customers, all that within 48 hours. Listen, we can, if we get this thing, if we pick up with a centurion guy, and we'll talk more about that after the break, but when we pick up with a centurion guy, which is moving in authority, I'm telling you, the church is going to be deadly to the adversary. We're just talking about martial law, and that there's pros and cons to just taking definite authority. We've been without it for so long, it just seems like, you know, people think the usefulness of it's not good. Listen, you obviously have not played on a football team before, because there's definite authority. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been under a coach before, it says, take a lap. But coach, I was thinking, excuse
take
me.
10.
Excuse, I'm sorry. Can you look at his contract? Did it say think anywhere? Did it say think? And there's something to that. You look at a soldier. You know, the soldier is told by his commander or his lieutenant, go take the hill. You know, I was thinking about this hill over here. And it's like, you were thinking, son, you were thinking. And it's just amazing, you know, that where have we gone? And what it is, it's rebellious. It's just rebellion. It's a spirit of rebellion, of lawlessness that have come upon us in America and upon the church. And we had to find our way back to it. I think about the centurion that I was mentioning, that when Jesus, somebody had told Jesus, this man who was a centurion, which means he was a soldier, and he had some people over. He was in the military, and he heard he had somebody that was sick, and so he was going to send somebody. Jesus is going to come to his house, and so he hears that, you know, Jesus is coming over, clean up. You know, Jesus, God's about to be here. You know, and all of a sudden he sends a message out, and he says, Lord, this is the messenger. He said, you know, I don't deserve for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And I tell that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. What a great thing. Isn't that good? Can you imagine the church? But can you tell me why? No, yeah, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to tell you why. And this is Jesus' response. This is, you know, obviously, because there wasn't a lot of it going on, and he found somebody who understood him. He says, this is what Jesus says. When Jesus heard this centurion, when he heard this man who understood authority and his place in it, he said he was astonished. Jesus is like, whoa. He says he was astonished and said to those that were following him, in other words, to Jesus' disciples, he looks at them and he says, listen, I tell you the truth. I have not found anyone in all of Israel with such great amount of the substance that pleases me the most. What? With such a great amount of faith. Remember, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to please God, find your place. Whatever it is, just find it and function in it and bear interest in it and take authority over it and be fruitful in it. And if you are at your workplace and you're not the boss, quit acting like it. You know, if you're not the supervisor, quit directing anybody else in there and just do your job. And once you've done it, say, you know, can I have another? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You know, just keep on going and doing your job, and realize your boss, a human being, is going to say, this is what your boss is going to say. I'm astonished. I haven't seen anyone in this entire industry that actually does fully with a good heart what I ask them to do and brings back interest. I mean, that's what they're going to say. Everybody's looking for somebody who will just listen to what they're saying if they're actually responsible for running it and doing it and managing it, so that they can do it because they're the ones responsible for it. It's so interesting how so many people don't want the accountability and the responsibility for the burden of running the show, you know, their name signing at the bottom of the contract, but they have all kinds of opinions about it, isn't it?
It's amazing.
But think about this. Listen, when we begin to move in authority, and the church needs to get this, and this false authority and this manipulation and witchcraft and all that stuff, that's hogwash. You know, authority comes because we actually know what God's saying and doing, and then we function in our role, all of us being accountable to God, but understanding there is authority, there is structure. God gives apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for what? To do something for and to the body, to the believers, to train them up for works of service so they may reach the fullness of Christ and be mature and go out and to do the work. And it's all of a sudden because we've been struggling and a spirit of lawlessness has come upon the church, now we just hire apostles, prophets, teachers, and evangelists, say, okay, go do it. You know, we're not, you know, I don't want you training me up. What you doing? You go do it. And then all of a sudden we have a whole bunch of hirelings instead of, you know, positions that are, we're training people up to launch them out, or competitiveness where they're not wanting their son or their daughter or their member that they're raising up to be able to do better than them, versus like, go do, be, be fruitful and have a heart of a father. It's like, you're just so proud that they actually are successful and they're functioning in their role. You'd be surprised. Just like Rick Joyner saying, what I've been saying and what I've been hearing, I truly believe that there's going to be a clampdown. And I believe it's because of great lawlessness that's come upon the land because of the lawlessness in the church.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.